a big one.
All right. Good morning. It is Monday, August 1st. It's 11 a.m. Welcome to the Leon County Research Development Authority Executive Committee special meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. We have no guests. Okay. And do we need to do?
We have no one participating electronically.
All right. Are there any modifications to the agenda?
None.
All right.
Assuming that item six is very broad.
Right. And are there any public comments?
We have received none.
All right. Item number six, executive director position, recruiting and transition. In light of Ron Miller's announcement last week.
Yeah.
This board now needs to enter into a season of job search. So I'd like for this to be an open dialogue about the process, the skill set, trajectory, where we're heading, where we've been. I just handed out from Opus Partners. This is a search firm. It's a boutique search firm that Westcott has used on a variety of searches. And then you can see from some of the information, their relevant experience, they have done a tremendous amount in this space. And so I'd like to consider them. I also printed out for the benefit of the group a few copies of our policy, which I reached out to Melissa for to make sure that I understood where we were in terms of the procurement process. Should we bring a search firm in? And there are some different spending levels there. So we need to be mindful of that. But I do, I want this to be an open dialogue, and let's make sure that we have a plan out of today as we're leading into the board meeting in a couple of days.
Kevin, if I could, Bill has a slide deck that might help provide a little context to the discussion.
Slide deck away.
Yes, but I do want to address one thing first. And that is, Dave, if you don't mind, if I bring up what you had proposed on Friday.
You want me to bring it up? You want to bring it up.
You want to talk about it? And I'll give you my answer.
Well, it didn't sound very positive.
I just thought we ought to at least get that out there.
I had lunch with Ron, and I guess as an old airline pilot, I would tell you that the most critical thing is that you come in for final approach instead of playing up. That's not the time you want to lose power. It's not the time you want to lose the engine. We're about to lose the engine in this thing on final approach. And I asked Ron if there was any way in this world he would consider maybe taking 30 days sabbatical, maybe taking 30 day longer vacation, leaving his cell phone here in the office, getting away from it, resetting himself, and then coming back with a commitment of at least 18 months with us. And ask him to play with that over the weekend and think about it and come back with a permanent answer.
Well, first of all, I'm really grateful for the offer. I mean, it's
not an offer, it's more of a discussion.
Well,
I can't make the offer by myself.
The informal discussion offer. And as I tried to tell you on Friday, and you wouldn't take any answer at that point in time, but this is not something I've entered into lightly. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. This is not new. Second, I don't think that it's even possible for me to take a 30-day sabbatical from this place. It's hard enough to take a one-week vacation. So there's just too much going on. And the decision was based on, in this process, was based on doing the best I can to make sure that we can keep things moving along, that it's not just me going away in 30 days, that this really is the best way to give the authority a chance to go hire a really good person or people to keep this going. So so I have to decline, but I do appreciate the thought. But it's just, we just got to keep going the route that we're going.
Yeah.
So, and with that, I'd like to turn over to Bill, and Bill, give you some context of what he's thinking about. In particular, I think this really goes at what Dave's talking about in terms of, you know, what do we got going on? What do we need to keep going with? And how do we keep the plane in the air?
Okay. If you'll go to the next slide. As you recall, I went through a number of things in the last meeting. You go to the next slide. These would be sort of incremental opportunities and challenges, the need for additional human resource. We talked about the need for the financial pieces and parts, including human resource, that would be incremental. Next slide. Some of this we'll address in the board meeting, the organizational pieces and parts, the contracts, the governance between organizations. If you go to the next slide, and then some of the macro issues related to what our future looks like, what we need to optimize our future. Next slide. And then I thanked you, and we went on to the executive director. And if you'll go to the next slide, and to quote our chair, that's sort of what happened. And so next slide.
Kevin Graham quoting Mike Tyson,
the great theologian and orator.
So that's sort of what happened in that point. And so since then, I think we've probably all been thinking about how do we replace Ron?
And I've had no input on this. I went through the internet. So.
Yeah, I you could probably guess that he had.
Bill, your review's over.
The reality is you can't replace Ron Miller because of his unique component human resource, both trained and acquired, and the things that he does from an economic perspective that are incremental. And he has been in some ways subsidizing this organization through the responsibilities that aren't on his job description, and just his technical proficiency. He gets things done much more quickly than similar human assets. So next slide. Quite honestly, it's too many hats for one person. If you take a look at what he's tasked with doing, what we have on the plate in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, it will be adding to what is on his job description currently. And in my estimation, it is, given our need for resource, human resource, I don't think the job can be done by one person. So next slide. I think the opportunity that we have is to focus on the component pieces and parts, and to deal with those both within internal job descriptions and potentially with external resource. An example might be, hypothetically, Ron is our IT guy. So that might be something that could be outsourced. And he and I have chatted, and he's graciously shared some concepts in terms of job descriptions. A business manager would be a way to create energy for the executive director and deal with this scaling of activity that we have. Next slide. I think that we might all agree that at this time, as we come in for a landing, we've got to focus on the top priorities. Next slide. And focus on the functional pieces of what Ron does as the executive director. And I listed a few of those. Again, this is one person's opinion. Obviously, financial asset optimization and fundraising. And the lab is the greatest risk and reward that we have currently. It's a $12 million federal risk, and then it's another 10 of our partners. Human resource management, beginning with this decision, is critical. There are aspects related to technical systems that are in play and we'll need to address. And again, these are functional pieces that you're aware of, as well as sales, market, and building brand equity for the park and the lab, and filling up the remaining assets that we have. Next slide. In terms of financial stewardship, and I won't read all of these things, you can take a look at those, but taking a look at what's left, and we've been talking about that, both our current buildings, our land, and what the strategic vision for the park is, as we evolve that while we're building out the lab, Collins, and doing other renovations. And then balancing the risk and reward. I mean, this is truly an entrepreneurial endeavor. And we're in it with the lab, and we are making investments in Collins. Next slide. In terms of asset optimization, we're at the point where human resource is a really critical success factor at this juncture. And so not only taking care of the current opportunity that we have, but looking into the future and saying, what is it going to take for this organization to articulate exactly what it wants to be? And then, given the fact that people are incredibly important, what does that structure look like? And the physical assets, again, greatest risk and reward is the lab. We have other buildings, we have land, and we have partners. So what's the highest and best use for us as Innovation Park? And then creating, leveraging the programmatic pieces, whether it's tech grants, tech topics, other things that we might do with our partners, like a job fair for our partners, so that the brand equity of Innovation Park and our assets and our partners has increased. Next slide. We're in it and we're going fast. And each of these pieces and parts create opportunity and responsibility. We are currently on the hook to the EDA to do this project and then report on it for the next almost decade. Same, we have grants ongoing. You got to seek the work, do the work, and report the work. So FAMU, a couple of things currently. We're in the middle of ARPA through next year. We've applied for EDA, which will fund November 1st. So we'll need to deploy those funds and hire those people associated with that grant on or around November 1st. And we're moving forward with FSU and FAMU on the two NSF grants. As a matter of fact, there's a matching day today, this afternoon, with the NSF Type 2 grants. That's $160 million over 10 years. FSU is moving forward with the Type 1. We'll be less involved in that piece and part. And we are chasing money with the legislature. We'll hear about the $250 within weeks. And we'll be expected to issue an RFP and deploy those funds. And we are contemplating going after FF&E in the coming session. So all of these things are today.
And we can. Excuse me, what's that $250 obligated for? We get it.
That's the land planning and.
Okay, yeah.
That's right, land planning. That's it. I remember that.
Yeah. And you can move on. And as mentioned in the opportunities and challenges, these are the pieces and parts specifically related to the lab, which greatest opportunity and greatest challenge to get to that starting point. Next slide. So OKRs, I don't know if you're familiar, it's objectives and key results. It's sort of an evolution of management by objectives. And I've been thinking about it, and I would say that the thought process and the approach, let's take a look at the job description, figure out what we need now, would be sort of a linear approach to and logical. Another way to view it is, what do we have to get done? and what's the best way to do it? And that's sort of the framework of objectives and key results. So it's a modality. And it allows you to sort of chunk things. Okay, what do we have to get done? And then what are the simple things to allow us to do that, that then drive tactical execution and metrics so that you're not, you can measure everything. But you only want to measure and activate the things that actually move the needle. So moving on. So I just described this, the objective, the simple key results, and then the initiatives that allow those things to happen. Next slide. So if we oversimplify what we need to do now, I would respectfully suggest that these are some of the things. And again, probably not everything, and probably, again, it's a framework to think about it. Greatest risk and reward, got to get the lab built, got to get it invoiced, got to get it staffed, got to get it all. That's the biggest financial risk. We need to renovate the building to get the next 30,000, last 30,000 square feet leased up. That's the financial imperative. We need to figure out what we're going to do with the remaining dirt in order to articulate the vision, collaborate with our partners, help FAMU unlock that potential and others, and then create and evolve what Ron has done to satisfy the state of the present and build the pathway to the future. I know we all recall that Ron, when Ron got here, the park was broken, and Ron has fixed that. And so there may or may not be a need for some of the systems that made sense a decade ago, may not be the same as what we need now. Again, circling back to what I view is one of the highest priorities, and that is human resource. We need that energy to articulate the strategic vision that we have for Innovation Park. And if you'll continue. And with that, I thank you again for your time and attention. And just to follow up, one of the first things you said, Kevin, was, Bill, a lot of this is going to fall on your shoulders. And Ron said, I don't want that to happen. And the reality is, not doing that is not an option. I can't not be involved in many of the things that are listed there because I am involved. Nor can we wait for somebody else to do those things. So we've got to move quickly and concurrently on whatever paths the executive committee and the board choose. I think it would be prudent to, and I appreciate Governor Ramsey's attempt to keep Ron as long as possible. I would strongly recommend that Ron would give us as much time as he can, if it's 90 days or whatever the case may be. Then I would recommend
18 months.
18 months would be even better. And then ask him to continue a few hours a week on a consulting basis for up to 6 months, something like 10 hours a week, something that he might be willing to balance and smooth the transition in all of these key areas that we have, while we, as direct and indirect teams, do what is currently on the plate and add incremental activity that is in the pipeline or is applied for. So thanks again for your time and attention.
Bill, thank you. I'm impressed with the breadth of your understanding of everything that happens inside the park. I'm impressed with your breadth of understanding of all the things that Ron does to contribute to this machine. I'm impressed with your leadership over the lapse and what will be required, what is required today and what will be required to make that successful in the future. And to revisit that comment about a lot of things will fall to your shoulders. And I understand, Ron, that you don't want that to happen. There will be an interim period where we're going to have to rely heavily because of all the breadth of understanding that you have, dirty boots on the ground, how the park actually operates. That lasts for a season, and we've all been through those seasons when you're in the middle of the transition and when the ox is in the ditch, everybody rolls up their sleeves, right? I have great confidence in your ability to help us navigate that transitional time. So thank you. There's a few slides in here that I believe that we're going to want to re-reference through this conversation. You've done a great job of distilling some things down. And I think maybe we actually, if we can just leave the last slide up, because that was, to your point, to oversimplify, those are some of the big ideas and the main points. So, Ron, how many years have you been at the park?
10.
What was the status? What was going on at Innovation Park when you started? What did we look like? What did we feel like?
They were coming out of a one-year transition between what we call the dark days. And
there was a shift.
With the new executive director, it was controversial, my understanding. And that person, like I said, only lasted about a year, I think, maybe 18 months.
Yeah, probably 18 months.
She did, from what I saw, she did a great job working with the board. They put a lot of policies and procedures in place as a result of the issues they had to deal with prior to her. The biggest challenge was that the board was managing day-to-day activities, which created a lot of meetings, and the ED's position was very much about managing meetings rather than actually doing a job. And I mean, they had an operations committee that really didn't make a lot of those decisions. So fortunately, with the changes, the subsequent board chairs eased up on those policies and started giving me more authority to actually do some of the things. And they moved from monthly board meetings to every other month, which relieved a lot. It was very focused initially on, you know, how is the park going to continue? Is it just going to be a leasing organization? And so the big initiative at the time coming in was the restructuring of the park, which was, you know, how do we get FSU and FAMU back to the table? Because it seemed to be that there was some animosity from prior leaders about the value of the park, who owned the property, who owned the buildings. You know, what was the leases were structured in a way that the universities were paying lease payments that retired debt, but at the end they didn't own the buildings, and the authority had no control over the buildings because the leases ran in perpetuity at the option of the universities, but they couldn't really collect any rents as a result. So it's just this quagmire of nothing. And so with the leadership of the board and the board chair at the time, we worked at the universities, did some swaps that were equitable to everyone, and then the universities controlled what they needed to control, and the authority got what it needed. So that took until I was hired on August 9th of 2012, and in the interim position. And even then, that was part of the challenge. But it took until February of 2014 to get that restructuring done. And then after that, it was the focus became the entrepreneurship and the incubator. Leasing was still, even though we were down to five buildings, leasing was still important as it is today, because that's our primary source of revenue. But we spent a lot of energy on the incubator. It was doing a feasibility study on this building to see if we could convert this and what that was that going to cost. So we spent quite a bit of time on that. And we had a thing called Jumpstart, which was how could we get going before we had a full-blown building? How can we start some of these programs and processes? And that was very educational because it sort of inspired all the other steps we had to take. And then we went out and did the feasibility study in 2015. And then, as you know, after that, it's been, you know, there were successive grant applications. We actually did two before we got the one that was successful. We did one in collaboration with FSU, and then the next two we did on our own because they were more tied to the disaster recovery money, which is we found out in the process that if you want to get big dollars, that's what you had to do. So, I mean, those have been the primary focuses, and secondary to that was, you know, the tech grant program. It had 1 year before I got here. It used to be down at the Governor's Club. But I think we did a good job of not just continuing that program, but expanding and getting over to Goodwood. You know, I think 1 year we had 17 applications, typically average about 10. Hopefully we'll get there this year. But I think we've done a really good job of keeping that program going and making it relevant to the community. And I think it's also helped to increase our exposure in the community. I think, you know, and we've had some other programs like Tech Topics. I think we've done a pretty good job of that, trying to increase the community involvement out here. It's a tall task to try to get people out here, but that has gone pretty well. It's kind of slowed down since COVID, but let's see. But I would say probably the best thing that's happened, I think, has been the board. And I think the board has been very collaborative, but I don't think that was the case before I got here. I think they had a lot of problems, and I don't take credit for that. I just, you know, that's kind of what evolved. And I think everybody started coming together and looking at this thing in a different way. And probably the biggest challenge has been trying to get the recognition in the community that the board would like to see. I think we've done a better job, but as I've told many who would listen, the best way to get more recognition in the park is to do something. And we've gotten a lot of recognition in the last 2 years, and it's mainly because of the incubator. There's been something that they can see, it's tangible. It plays well in the media. Otherwise, it's very difficult to get that concept of the park out into the community. That's just my opinion, but does that answer your question?
Yeah, and actually that's fantastic. And so the point of the question is really to revisit what the landscape was a decade ago, and understand that at the time, Bill, to use your words, it was broken. I'm going to give context in my next comment. In the world of real estate, I consider myself to be a generalist. There are a bunch of specialists, and I'm not a specialist in any particular, maybe finance, but in broadly speaking, inside of real estate, I consider myself to be a generalist, and I like to work with specialists. You are very much a generalist inside of everything that happens inside of research parks. You understand all the different elements, and you took what was essentially broken and spent the last decade fixing it. So we're on a solid footing. I want to make sure that in this conversation today, and in context of that, Ron, you've done a great job getting us to this point. I also think because of where we're at with Innovation Labs, we're kind of on the front end, and I know it's an uncomfortable time to be making a transition, but in light of the decision that Ron has made, I think it's also a good time to make the transition because it's the beginning of that next major chapter. And just like Ron was able to breathe life into a otherwise very challenged project, the next person that comes in has that same opportunity to take this platform with fresh eyes and fresh legs and do their next decade worth of taking it to the next level. And I think we need to recognize that. That's not in any way a slant against all the things that you've done. It's just you've created a platform. And now the next person comes in and stands on the shoulders of the giants. Okay, that's what I want the temperature of this conversation to be, because we're not going to find somebody who has the same skill set, generalist, understands whether it's the accounting or the IT or the human resources or the project management or the insert here or this or that or the other. We're not going to find somebody that has that. But when we look at when we look at these oversimplified objectives, as Billy as you've titled it, and we start to think about, well, where do we need to be 10 years from now? You know, I think we begin with the end in mind. Let's figure out the type of person that we need to get to that point. And then, Bill, to another point that you made earlier, there may be other people that have to come in to support this, or certain things that we currently do that need to be outsourced. All that will ultimately get wrapped into a budget. But if we have the right, if we set a clear objective of where we want to be 10 years from now, and we find somebody that we think will take us in that direction, go back to Mike Tyson, we're bound to get punched in the face. And when that happens, we'll make some accommodations. But I think the plan needs to be really at that oversimplified level of where should we be in a decade? And let's find somebody that we think can lead us there, not necessarily manage us there. I don't want somebody that's going to manage us to that point. I do want somebody that's going to lead us to that point.
If I could add one more thing that I didn't really discuss at the beginning, something that changed from when I started. When I started, it was me and an administrative assistant. That was it.
Okay.
And we didn't really start making headway until we hired a marketing person and eventually then the director of entrepreneurship position. And I think that kind of gets at what Bill's talking about, is if you want to do more, you need more people. And we're at a stage where we have to do more. And so I think that's going to be critical to your success in the future.
Okay.
Either more people or, as Bill suggests, outsourcing.
So I agree with that. I think having been, I guess I'm probably 9 or 10 years with you, and realizing that what was probably critical then and where I think that you brought us is certainly the foundation. And I think that's what we, as you mentioned, will have the ability to build on. But much like you, Kevin, and I know the others would agree as well, I, in my own job, don't consider that I'm going to be the one that takes it to the next thing, that there are phases of it. And I think that's where we are. So though I would never imagine you, Ron, saying, you know, you're doing something else, I get it, because I get it for the moment that we're in, that really we needed to pause, because otherwise we've been going down the road doing what we've been doing. I think a good step would be looking at the skill sets that the folks that are on the team now, inventorying those skill sets, at the same time looking at where we want to be to figure out what are those skills that we need to have teased out. And I, Ron, you've given me this opportunity to kind of look at you and then kind of, you know, what were any areas of opportunity? What do we need now? And we started down that path last week before Ron ended it on a high note. But we were going down that path of, wow, this thing looks different. Oh, it's outward. It's like not even local anymore. So it is different skill set. I think that gets us there. I don't think that we need to dismiss possibly even an interim because I believe that right candidates are out there, but right candidates are in demand everywhere. Everybody's looking for right candidate at the same time. So I don't think we need to dismiss the notion of even having an interim with a set and specific goal of keeping it in the role. We know where we've got to maintain, but we also know where we want to be. That would give us time and opportunity to do that. Before, you know, I believe that talent, more people are needed, but I've also been on boards where it was thought as a common issue that you hire yourself out of issues. And I don't think you do that. I think you figure out the skills that you need, then you get the right people. I don't think you can, you know, add 12 people and that fixes it. And nobody's saying 12 people. I'm just using that as a point that I've sat on those boards and it's everything. What do we need to do? Hire some more people. And so we still had some of those problems. I think it's just going to be a combination, but I think we just need to be smart looking at what we have and then where do we want to be.
Okay.
I'm in agreement that we might need to consider an interim because a search may not be a 90-day search.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, all of us have been handed responsibilities or opportunities. And you go in and you got the team's already set for you. And sometimes that doesn't gel. Sometimes it's better for the person to come in. And if we do need a business manager or whatever you want to call it, you know, oftentimes it's better to let that leader that you hire that, you know, kind of second in command or whatever you want to call it too. So, but we got to rock along during this process. But Ron, has anybody come to you about interim position?
Not to me. I think somebody came to Bill. But
yeah.
Without naming names.
Okay.
Why can't you name names?
Oh, it's fine.
I don't want you to feel like you had to disclose anyone.
I think he's looking generally and inquired specifically about this. Scott Belong and I had a conversation. He had heard about it and wondering what was going on. And I think he would have an interest. He was recently laid off from his gig and is doing contract work. And again, I think it's, I like Scott, I've interacted with him. I think it's the executive committee and board need to do exactly what you're talking about is figuring out what the objectives are, both short, medium, and long-term, and what skill sets that leader needs to have, and then what assets, you know, in-house, outsourced, would support that initiative. I'm sure there'll be considerable interest in the opportunity. I do, as Dr. Moore said, talent is, it's a seller's market right now. And this is a pretty hot area everywhere, this sort of innovation ecosystem building.
So we have a 42-year-old research park that does somewhere between $300 and $500 million worth of research per year. Is that fair? Most of that is on the state and federally funded university research side of the ledger, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
We're kind of on the cusp of building the infrastructure for the tech transfer and the commercialization piece that we've all talked about. Getting to that point is arguably what really unlocks the value of a research park. Otherwise, we continue to do for decades more federally funded university research. And universities love that. They do great with that. And there's a lot of value to the universities to do that. In order to make Innovation Park an economic generator beyond the university sponsored or the federally funded university research, we have to get to that point where this is ginning out companies, products and companies. Finding the person that has the potential to lead us there, and I should have made the comment before you mentioned anybody's names, because I know Scott, and this is nothing against Scott at all. I just don't want us to limit, I don't want us to get comfortable with an interim and then
acquiesce to that.
8 months into it, say, this person has done a great job as interim. Let's make that because we will not rise to our highest potential if we resign ourselves to fishing out of the local pond. I think that this needs to be a national search. Mm-hmm. I think we need to clearly understand what those objectives are, and we need to find somebody who, without question, knows how to get to that point. And I'm, again, Scott's a great guy. My comment is not in any way, shape, or form directed at him individually. I just don't want to resign ourselves to getting comfortable with an interim.
Which is kind of what happened with me. It happens. I'm just saying it does.
And you said what I was thinking. It's not that, and you were a good person to get comfortable with. So know that. Yeah. But I think it was because, like, okay, it just calmed it. And so you didn't think again. But when we come from under, which is where we were again the last week, like, God, it's like the light came on what we were supposed to be doing, and it's a big old thing, and recognizing it, and it's bigger than normal. Yeah.
Well, I am somewhat on the side of, I don't think we need to implement it. Don't think that's our best approach. I'm still thinking we need to determine whether we're looking at one position or two positions. Then I'm worried about how we fund them. And if we go outside and we get somebody with a high degree of resume fodder, it's going to cost us some money. So are we thinking that to get two people, we would lower the salary of the executive director? I don't think we can do that too much and still get the talent we want. Is there opportunity to pull in, if we hire a second person, some of the things that we're exporting now, whether it's facilities management or financial or bookkeeping or any of those other things? Where do we get the funds to get two people? I'm concerned about that. We're looking at a $33,000 loss this year. That's without the elevators. If we go next year, we're going to be putting the budget together with a big red number, I'm afraid. So all these things are kind of, we got to flesh out. And I think the first one says, do we go with a national search? I like that idea. Are we looking at one position or two positions? I think we've got to weigh those and make those decisions pretty quickly.
Now, I want to ask a question. Did you say you're not interested in an interim, or did you say you don't want an interim to be our
end all be all?
I would actually make a motion in front of the board that if we end up with an interim, that we not allow an interim to be the permanent.
Can I tell you, that's what they did with me. Do you remember that? So when I was interviewed, the committee that interviewed me said, you will not be eligible to be hired.
In fact, we even said you could not get business cards.
Yeah, I couldn't. I wasn't even allowed to talk about the full-time job. What happened was, we got to a point in the process of the restructuring, and then the VPs of research for FSU and FAMU and the president of TCC came into the board meeting and said, why are you guys advertising this job now? Because the person that's facilitating this process is getting the job done, just hire him. And it was Jim Murdaugh who said, I've been an interim. It's not a good place to be. So anyway, just so you know that
the very nature of the person in the role of the interim is they're trying to work themselves into a permanent job. Then there's the,
but not every time.
Because I look at this like with president searches and all. I mean, a lot of people asked about Dr. Robinson and why we didn't go there the first time, because he had stated when we started the process, one, he knew that he wasn't going to be in it and wasn't going to be considered. We made sure that he held to that, because otherwise it just created an unfair, why are you doing a search if you're ultimately going to end up there? Did it end up aligning? Yeah, it did, but he did not get that spot the first time. He did. And I think that we could manage the process in such a way that, you know, it's the understood.
And it might be, I mean, I'm thinking about somebody that might have recently retired, a business guy, or those grander. I mean, there's a million different.
Well, I'm worried if we get an interim, we'll tread water for a while.
But who's gonna do all that?
If we don't just go ahead and bite the bullet and say, let's get somebody on here quickly and get
them. Then you're settling, Dave. And I don't think we're at a position that we could settle.
So and I am not of the camp that says no to an interim. I'm still in the camp of we just need, if we go that route, I just don't want that person to have the path to the final or the permanent position. We may do a national search and the right candidate surfaces quickly. We may do a national search and they don't.
That's right. That's what I'm worried about.
Me too.
And I think that that's where we really need to be mindful of what is that, what's the backup plan?
Well, I don't mind that being the backup plan, but I think our first objective should be try to find a position to get filled. Not even considered an interim unless we fail on the merge plan on the first attempt.
Then the question becomes, how much time do you commit to finding the first, and then your 90 days are gone, and then you're like, okay, what is my backup? And then, so it's like they have to be happening at the same time in order to be efficient, because, you know, time is not something that we can multiply, so we just...
Well, are you limited to 90 days if it took 120 days? Is that...
I mean, it's not... I don't know at this point. I don't know what's next for me, but I would like it to be 90 days. So, but let me... I think that the key driver of time and my role is on the business manager side. I think if you hire a business manager, it buys you the time. And I know it's not ideal. I recognize, and I kind of had that thought too, that the incoming person may want to hire that position if that's what you all decide. But I'm telling you, from a time standpoint, if you hire that position relatively quickly, and I don't think that's as difficult a position to fill, that person I can train in 90 days on the majority of things they would need to know to keep keep the train moving. It's the other stuff, and I know Bill would like to have that role filled quickly for some of the other stuff that needs to get done, but I think that business manager person would buy you the time to build a better approach to hiring a full-time ED permanent.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, just so I'm very clear on the documents that you sent, there is one that's the executive director and one that is the business manager.
Yeah.
Is it your expectation that these work in complement, or was the purpose of this to say, if you can't do executive director immediately, start with the business manager?
Well, I think ultimately you need to do both.
Okay.
But I think you start with the business manager if you're looking at the 90 days as critical as I am, that would allow me to transfer that knowledge. The rest of the knowledge, if you go out and you get somebody who has any experience with research parks, they don't need me for much other than the local, you know, landscape culture, you know, if they're not from Florida, some of the Florida statute stuff or things like that. Things I could do on a consulting basis to help with, but
what about the assistance with going after some of these grants? I mean, do we have everything we need to go after the grants?
No, I mean, I, all of these are my responsibilities, with the exception of the long-term visioning, I need help I need more help than Ron and I together have been able to do to this point. So the answer is, yeah, we need support in that area. I would also echo what Ron has to say. From a functional perspective, when he goes, Ron is an admin, he's a bookkeeper, he's a CPA, he prepares the financial audits, he manages the management firm, he does HR, he does IT, does a little maintenance.
Put these desks together.
Yeah, and those are functions. It's a basic economic model. The energy that's invested there is not energy that's in leadership or chasing money or the critical objectives needed to deliver on these things. So I would strong, and I think that to Ron's point, that will be a challenging position to hire, but less challenging than somebody that's going to lead Innovation Park for the next decade.
But Bill, are you saying that the support that you need is, okay, we get the business manager, you need that just functioning, but the support that you need is different than the business manager?
Yes, that's why I started with the other slides.
Mm-hmm.
It's, scaling an advisory group nationally. It's providing a board of directors for North Florida Innovation Labs, including somebody that's driving tech transfer. And that's the whole purpose of the lab is to create 100 licenses and fill up that lab. And so the answer is yes. And we need resource. We're opening the lab in 17 months.
So, arguably, because of where we are in the evolution of Innovation Park, I would almost suggest that the skill set of that next person was quite a bit different, Ron, than yours. If we have somebody who's skilled in all of these various areas, whether it's the IT or desk assembly or the property, you pick all these cats and dogs, it's easy for that person to migrate into those roles. And I don't want this position to migrate into those roles. I think it makes a lot of sense to have the business manager who clearly understands the business manager's responsibilities and for those lines not to be terribly blurred. That then gives you the confidence of knowing that the executive director is that person that because of a skill set that they bring with them and hopefully relationships and experience that they bring with them, they are providing you that type of assistance that you need in order to help fully develop the board of North Florida Innovation Labs and to scale up these other opportunities that we have.
Kevin, you're absolutely right. And
that does not happen very often.
I know, but no, I don't know. But I told Bill this the other day. I said, I do what I'm good at. We all do what we're good at.
We migrate towards
what we're good at. And so, when it came time to get this stuff together, or when we started it out, it was me and one other person, I had to do all of those things. And we didn't have the resources to put it out and, all of that. So you're absolutely right. I think you need to divide those responsibilities or you're going to get what you've always got.
Well, and it's also, it's an issue, we're robbing time from the future. Human resources are like real estate assets. We need to focus on the highest and best use of our human resource.
So just throwing out a straw man, what if we hired a firm to assist us with the executive director of a nationwide hunt, and we tried locally to get the business?
I echo that comment.
I support that as well.
Because I know I like to hire my people. I've inherited business units, but in this case, I think we have to almost go that route.
I like that idea, but and certainly may not be as defined, but sometimes you're like diamonds in the rough here. That, but we also, in addition to the business side of it, but if they had some fire business, you know, startups or something, because what happens, I think, here is that we easily, because it's a small group, you fall into boxes. And we somehow need to establish team where skills can support other positions. So if it's not just the business manager, you can also engage in conversation and provide support, whether it's the Bill and the efforts that he has underway. You can also assist the executive director. Where I think where we find ourselves is that Ron's skill sets this, Bill's skill set this, and we never really kind of looked at a way to kind of blend it, that, you know, now we're adjusting to figure out that, hey, we need a combination of skill sets to in order to take this thing to the next level. But we've kind of boxed ourselves just by virtue of how we've grown. Marketing is this. Yeah, so.
I'm going to put my treasurer's hat on a minute. I like where we're going. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure we know how we're going to fund it.
Yeah, that's it.
Are there pieces that we now export out to Calcorp that the business manager would do that we could then take the finances there and help apply to the salary of this new person? I don't know the answer to that. Calcorp does maintenance, facilities management. They do bookkeeping, record keeping.
Yeah.
Could either of those pieces be rolled into this new position?
I don't think so. It's, you know, they're making $80,000 a year, basically providing a full-time maintenance person, effectively a full-time maintenance person, and a part-time property manager and a part-time accounting staff and a payroll staff. You're not going to be able to staff all of that. There's nothing you can take away such materially that will bring any dollars back. As a matter of fact, one of my biggest concerns with them is that if Talcor decides to stop doing it, or we put it out to bid and get somebody else who wants to do it, that transition will be a nightmare.
I agree.
Yeah, so and I think
may not be savings.
Yeah, I think the institutional knowledge and all that they have, I think you want to keep all that on where it is.
So, Mr. Treasurer, one of the things that I do think that we're going to have to pay attention to, and there's not a lot of time between now and the board meeting, but to have some sense for if we were to look at the two positions combined, and assume that's that the combined annual salary of the two positions pushes 200, but not more than 250. I think we need to have a plan in place to say, do we know how to do that?
That's my concern.
Well, but what I'm saying is that in advance of the meeting on Thursday, mm-hmm. When's our board meeting? Thursday. Mm-hmm. If you can help us, and Ron, certainly that's going to require some additional assistance, but I think we need to be able to talk intelligently about that on Thursday, if we can.
We plan to do a budget committee meeting. It's not even on the calendar yet.
No, it's not. I typically start the budget process 1st of August. So we would do it this, we would prepare the draft budget this month and usually have the budget committee meeting in September prior to the executive
committee. I think we need to move that up. I don't know how we do it. I don't see how to do it by Thursday.
No, I think what he's asking is just
anecdotal.
And there are some, if I'm remembering correctly, there are some lease opportunities that are pending.
Some of those are washed away, though, I'm
understanding. Yeah, the one for Johnson Building went away. They're all going remote.
Okay.
There's one for the Morgan Building, which with FAMU, that's not moving. But yeah, there's nothing active in the hopper.
Okay.
What do we have in reserves?
It's, I'm going to get this wrong, but excluding the what I think we have committed for the incubator, I think it's $1.5 million.
Okay, so like 1.6, but thereabouts.
Yeah,
we're right.
So I think that we need to be paying attention to the on the operating side, the cash flow implications of what happens over a 24-month period. If we need to have a two-year plan where we might need to subsidize normal operations by dipping into reserves in order to step through this, this is a critical decision.
Right.
And if we do it right, we ought to see the fruit of our labor on the back end. Right. If we don't do it right, well, we've got another issue that we're going to have to solve 24 months from now. But I don't think that we can get there by being what's the word I'm looking for?
Pennywise.
That's what I'm for.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not quite as financially worried as you are, but I worry about that here tremendously. But I think if we're going to get to the next level, we got to get a different skill set. And I do think there are two skill sets required.
Correct.
And no offense to you, Ron. I agree
100%.
We need somebody that can pick up the phone and call the CEO of Pfizer.
So this is not intended to be an alarmist statement, but it's a practical statement. I mean, we just talked about a 24-month period. We probably need to have a 60-month view of the world. And if we can't get to the point in that period of time where the labs are fully operational, and we've brought in the person who's going to help us take the next step as a park, if we can't figure out in that period of time how to put ourselves on a financial trajectory that works, we have a very different conversation that we need to enter into. So, you know, I suggest that we plan for 24 months and for 60 months.
I would respectfully suggest that we plan for 16 months.
16 or 16?
16.
Okay.
Because the larger financial obligation is opening the lab. Because we will need people, we'll need operating funds. That's about $1 million. And we're going to need $1 million or $2 million in advance of that, or we'll open the doors with nothing there. No people, no equipment, no tables and chairs. So they're concurrent challenges. I view them as one and the same, because it is the greatest opportunity and risk to talk about what, and I totally agree, greatest economic opportunity for our region is unlocking the IP at FSU and FAMU. The way that that happens is that's a tool set for doing that.
So
I know you're aware of that. I just wanted to make that point. These are concurrent, and one is as urgent as the other.
And I appreciate and I fully agree with what you stated. The 24-month view of the world isn't intended to be a milestone that hangs out there 24 months from now. It's everything that happens along the way. So by the nature of that, 16 is included.
And I think 24 is doable. I think anything beyond 24 is, we're just making stuff up. The key is, how much are you going to have to dip into the reserve over this period of time of getting someone else going, that person who can help go out and generate the revenue or raise funds to help the future? That's going to be the key. I think anything beyond that's a waste of time.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting anything different. When we talk about bringing in the new team, I think it's only fair that we're putting in front of the new executive director. We have some expectations over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that would suck the oxygen out of the room for a candidate is to hear, I have 18 months. I have 18 months to get there. I mean, that's going to, people are going to back away from that. Okay. You know, why would I do that? So there is a balance in there. So let's go back. Tom, was your suggestion of the...
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Executive director, we hire a search firm to assist us on a national basis. And simultaneously, we look for a business manager local. Looking to advertise locally and...
Okay, so the motion's been made. It's been properly seconded. What discussion do we have?
Is there any willingness or desire to talk about an interim solution? Just that is not permanent, but an interim.
I think that in my opinion is that on a parallel path, we do need to look at that. Because we don't know if the national search will yield the right person in the right.
We don't even know if the local search will yield the right business. Right.
We don't know.
Yeah.
And so I think that, and so something that we would have to explore is what type of person are we looking for in that interim? And it sounds like it needs to be more of the business manager person. Is that?
Well, and that's what I think you get with the business manager. I think you get that interim who can handle the transfer of information. It doesn't help Bill a whole lot.
Yeah.
And we also, we got to remember, we had a big construction project going too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would not be opposed to the interim, whatever title we want to give this person. That position may ultimately become the permanent business manager. I don't have a challenge with that.
I think the business manager should be the permanent business manager, not an interim.
Yeah.
Then back up. Let me say, make sure I'm saying this correctly. If we hire an interim whatever we title that person does not have a path towards being the permanent executive director, but that person likely could have possibly
the path to the business manager.
Yes.
Makes a little bit of sense to me. But we advertised for our business manager permanently now, right?
Yeah, okay. So the Tom's point is spot on. If we're going to hire, I think we got to make a decision, which your motion does, that we're seeking a business manager.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I didn't address was the interim executive director, and I was just wondering, did we want to put all of our actions in that?
I'm wondering if Thomas Hal Ferguson would have people in their mind that might be candidates for that role. But we're not looking for an accountant or CPA, although it'd be nice if they had that credential, but they perhaps know from all of their working around the community, people that might be looking or might be available.
So I think in order to do that, and Ron has put together the construct of a business manager, the qualifications.
Can we get a copy of that again?
And I think that obviously the action of this committee would then go in front of the board. Do we have the ability to fully discuss this on Thursday?
Yes, just a matter of time. How much time I think we're planning to spend a lot of time on the labs and organization and all of that, but obviously this is important.
I think these are the two things. The executive director and the labs are the two main focus points.
Yes. Oh, that's so true. It is on the agenda, but yeah.
But a business manager wasn't on the agenda, so can that be a modification to
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. And then understanding what we're looking at in terms of qualifications, I think then it's pretty easy. You know, Tallahassee is, I do think that position ultimately is a local person and 6 degrees of separation. We're only 1 degree of separation in Tallahassee.
So, I'm not changing my motion at all. I just want to ask a question. If we went that route and we got we are going to solve the business manager role. Would it make sense to have an interim that might be a assistance to you and these other elements? And I'm thinking about somebody that's got university ties or has had. Is that interim position then a look at somebody that's more attuned to that? And maybe somebody that's retired recently, maybe somebody that's got another gig, but or do we even try that yet?
So the question is, I think, if I'm simplifying your comments, do we need an interim executive director if we're going to hire a business manager?
Kind of the question, yes. I don't know if we do or not.
I like that question. I like that bowl.
I don't know much about, I'm just going to throw this out. I know we're recording. Ostrander had a whole bunch of ties to big business. Would somebody like that be willing to work for a few months as a, I don't know.
We could certainly talk to him. I think he went to the faculty. Well, I know he went.
I'm just thinking, is there somebody that exists that might have that skill set to assist us with these? With these NSF grants, these other big grant opportunities that we have, we know FSU and FAM are taking the lead on them, but that might have some political pull, that might have some.
You know, I think it's going to be hard to answer that question until we see the candidate pool of prospective business managers. You get the skill set that you listed in your qualifications and all the other skills the person brings along. So we don't yet know what the pool is going to look like.
That's how we best want to advertise this or get the word out, or who will look to help us find the person.
We've got on how we solicit.
So
jobs, you know. So we have to go through a certain process.
We have to post it basically.
Yeah, we've got to post it, but yeah. More than that, we got to do more than that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
is there like an association or with when we think about parks that
research parks, yes, and that's where I think that they would go for the recruiting, but not for the business manager.
Oh, yeah,
So the at the business manager level, I think we collectively as the board reach out to all of our local resources and make sure that
that job's
advertised. THF and FAM and FSU and all of the, we just
put the word out,
and I think we'll find some great candidates.
We can do social media, we can do LinkedIn, we can do the way people find jobs today.
Mm-hmm.
On the national search, I think we rely on the bench strength of the recruiting company.
Sure.
I printed out four copies of this for anybody to take a look at. This is the policy that governs how procurement works. And specifically, my question to Melissa was, do we need to go through a formal procurement process to hire a search firm to hire the new executive director? And it looks like at $50,000 or less, we need three bids, but we don't need to go through the more formal state ordained procurement process. The rate that, and we, what I would ask, and we can make this information available. I had a conversation with Katie Dean at Opus. She came, her name and her firm came to me highly regarded. If you look at her relevant experience and their firm's relevant experience, research and research parks are in their lane. They have, because of some current searches, previous searches, and a desire to continue to do business here locally in Tallahassee, they have offered us a reduced rate
Their standard fee is 33 1/3%, 1/3% of the first year's total cap compensation, salary and bonus. They would reduce that to 30%. And so, you know, arguably, if it's $150,000 salary, then that fits into the procurement process that we're talking about. If it's over that, we think it's going to need to be over that in order to hire the right person. It would have to be a more formal ITN or RFQ or P or whatever we use. What I don't know how to answer is, well, if we start with an expectation that this is a 130 to 150 type position, and we find out that we can't hire somebody for that, what do we do?
You have to go do an RFP. You have to go back and do a formal RFP. If your bids don't come in below 50,000.
How do we compensate the recruiter?
Because there's
I guess he's saying, can we hire a recruiter if we think we're under the 50 grand? Can we hire a recruiter without going out to bid for recruiters?
You can get informal bids.
Okay.
So you're going to get three informal bids, get two other recruiters. We say, this is what we're looking for. You do a spec, simple spec. Here's the parameters. Give us your bids. And if we think that amount ends up, say it's at 30%, if you get somebody that goes 50%, no. But it's $166,666 is at 30% would be $50,000. But at 30%. So
that's right.
You were at third. But
yeah, I was at their first number, yeah.
But the way it works, because we've had this happen, which is you think the amount's gonna be below 50, so you do an informal bid, but when you go out and do the bid, it's over 50.
And then you have to go
do an RFP.
So you have to, your recommendation is to get an informal three and then.
And that's going to be the question. What do you think the salary is going to land?
We don't know.
I mean, it goes back to budgeting too. What can we afford? Especially if we need the business manager. I will tell you, you know, if you look at, go ahead, Tom.
Let's take a 5-minute break.
Peggy, can you pause the recording?
Yeah.